Now, thank you all for coming on this rather wet and unpleasant night. It's good to see everybody here, boys and girls and older folks as well. And I want to talk to you tonight on the subject, what is wrong with our world? What is wrong with our world? We're going to read from the Bible, if you've got a Bible. God is the author of the Bible. And you know, the Bible is the only book that when it is read, the author is always present. The Bible is the only book in the world. When it is read, the author, God, is always present. So we're going to read from the New Testament in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is written by one of the greatest evangelists of all time, the Apostle Paul. And he says, "This know also, that in the last days," that's the last days before Jesus Christ returns, he says, "perilous times will come. For men and women, people shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, petty, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God." And in the previous chapter, chapter 2, and in verse 8, the answer to all this, as we shall see, is remember Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus Christ. Call to mind Jesus Christ. Never forget Jesus Christ. May God bless to us the reading of His Word. What is wrong with our world? It's very obvious, isn't it, that no matter where you go and no matter where you turn, there's something tragically wrong with society. Things have gone terribly wrong. We're living in days where many have, in order to escape the responsibilities of life, they've turned to the twilight world of illicit drugs. Our country, dear friends, is awash with people selling and people using drugs. Starting off with recreational drugs, so-called, and very soon they get hooked on these things. Many people in our country and in our towns and in your very town today, they've come under the mind-benumbing effects of alcohol. The alcohol has claimed many, many lives. The misuse of alcohol. Many people are turning to illicit sex for satisfaction. Many are turning to a life of crime. Just a few months ago, there was an act passed in Parliament back on the 30th of April last year called the Sexual Orientation Regulations. And this was a bill passed by Parliament which makes it illegal to teach children in schools that the Word of God, the Bible, is the final authority on all matters moral and spiritual. It's now illegal in schools to teach any school child who declares him or herself homosexual that such is against the teaching of the Bible. It's illegal to do that. You can be jailed for doing that if it's reported and you're caught. This was an act of Parliament only last year. Almost 1 million crimes that were recorded in Scotland last year, 43%, that's just over two-fifths, were committed, believe it or not, by children under 16 years of age. In Britain today, in the last 2 years, approximately 200 pupils every day are excluded from school. 200 pupils per day. That's equivalent to a school of 1,000 pupils every day in the UK. Last year, there were attacks on teachers by pupils, an increase of 250%. Most of the 70% of the crimes that are committed in our country are committed by folks under the influence of alcohol or drugs. There was an increase of 40%, 4 out of 10 doctors and nurses experienced physical or verbal abuse in our country here. Girls who have experienced abortion are 800% more likely to suffer from cancer. That's some of the problems that our society is affected by. The Education Authority gave out a list quite recently, the difference between school children back in the 1940s and school children today in the year 2000 or last year 2006. Now, many of us here were at school. I was at school in the late 40s. And the 7 major problems back then, and you'll see how bad things have become. The major problems in schools back in the 1940s was, number one, talking in class, chewing gum in class, making too much noise, children running in the corridors, children not queuing in lines to come into school, children wearing improper clothes, and not putting paper in the waste paper baskets. That was the 7 major problems teachers had to deal with in schools back in the 40s. Today, in the 2000 year, we're in 2008 now. Well, last year, the 7 major problems that school teachers had were this. Number one, drug abuse. This is amongst children. Alcohol abuse. Teenage pregnancies. Believe it or not, suicide. Rape. Robbery and assault. Arson and gang warfare. And sexual diseases. How things have deteriorated. We're living in a moral and spiritual wilderness. There was an article in one of the newspapers last year, and it was talking about the rise of the occult in our land. And I cut out the little article that was written. And the writer says this, the occult is officially the latest teen cult. Thanks to the likes of television shows such as Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Sabrina the Teenage Witch, interest in all things supernatural is on the rise. The writer goes on to say this, according to the Pagan Federation. Now, the Pagan Federation is officially recognized as a religion in the United Kingdom since the last census a number of years ago, where more than 10,000 people in the UK put down what the religion was, that would be recognized by the government. So over 2,000 people said they belonged to the Pagan Federation. And according to the Pagan Federation, television programs depicting young, glamorous, successful people achieving great things by the use of magic are to blame for teenagers becoming hooked on witchcraft and sorcery. J.K. Rowling's books, which have sold more than 30 million copies worldwide, this article says, is so popular that they have made it onto the front page of America's Time magazine. Yes, our world, our nation, our towns, our cities, our villages, us, we, you, and me. That's the kind of society we're living in. That's the kind of society that we find ourselves in. One of the One of the great men of a past generation, one of the greatest, he's reckoned to be one of the greatest philosophers that ever lived, was a man called Bernard Shaw. You'll possibly have heard of him. And when Bernard Shaw came to the end of his life, this is how he summed things up. Listen to this. He said, youth is a blunder, adulthood a struggle, and old age a regret. That was one of the leading philosophers in our world in the last century. Not much hope there, is there? Not much hope there at all. And the answer, my dear friends, to the problems that afflict you and me, the only real answer is what we read here in the Bible, where the apostle writes, remember Jesus Christ. Do you know who Jesus Christ is? Some time ago, I knocked on a lady's door when we were giving out tracts, and I asked her the question, as we got into conversation, I asked her the question, who is Jesus Christ? Who is Jesus Christ? Now, this lady was a woman, at least in her 50s. Do you know what she said to me? After a moment or two's thinking, she said, I don't know. I'm sorry, I don't know. Or she said, I should know, but I don't know. And in asking people the question, who is Jesus Christ, many people talk about him as a figure in the past. Yes, that's right. Many people talk about him. Many famous people have written as to who they believe Jesus Christ is. And if you read their quotations, they seem to be talking about someone who doesn't live now, someone in the past. The fact of the matter is, my dear friends, Jesus Christ was born 2,000 years ago. At Christmas time, we were supposed to be remembering his birth. That's what Christmas was all about. Not about parties, not about getting drunk, not about giving presents. It was supposed to commemorate the incoming of the Son of God into this world. And he came in and was born as a baby. And he grew up. And he died on a cross at age 33 years of age. And he died there. And you know, my dear friends, I want to tell you tonight, he died for you. And he died for me. Because of the fact that you and I are sinners. The reason that this world is in the state that it's in is because of sin. Sin in the world at large. But sin in all our hearts and in all our lives. People often say, I know I'm not perfect. Yes, none of us are perfect. And the reason we're not perfect is we've got this terrible spiritual disease called sin. And it's this nature within us that makes us do wrong things, that makes us go astray. It's this nature within, my friend, that's leading us away from God. Away from God. Yes. I don't know how your life is going. I don't know whether you have ever paid much attention or thought about Jesus Christ, who died on the cross at Calvary for your sin personally. If you were the only sinner, or I were the only sinner in the world, it would have taken God to send his Son into the world to save us from our sins. You see, God made this world. God made the world. And God made you, and he made me. And you know, there's something deep-seated within every person. And they realize that there's an emptiness in their heart. They realize there's an emptiness in their life. And we're all looking to fill up that void that's in our hearts and in our lives. Isn't that right? Every single person here of any age of understanding knows that there's something missing. There's something lacking. There must be something more to life than this. There must be something better than this. Have you felt that? Are you feeling that now? Have you asked yourself the question, where am I going? Many people tonight, my dear friends, are afraid. They're afraid of what the future holds. What's going to happen to us? Is there going to be a nuclear war? Are we going to be blasted to smithereens? What's going to happen to me? Will my partner leave me? What happens to me when my parents die? What will happen to me in the future? Remember Jesus Christ. Here is the only person, my friend, who has the answer to your personal need and mine. You see, money isn't the answer. Many people have wished, oh, I wish I had had plenty of money. You think of the people that are spending money on the lottery on Saturdays and on Wednesdays. You know, some of the unhappiest people in the world are the wealthiest. Wealth does not bring happiness. I've known men with more money than us all collectively will ever see. I remember a very wealthy businessman saying to an uncle of mine, and this man had everything. He boasted he had everything that money could buy. And he said to this Christian uncle, he said, I wish I had your faith. I wish I had your faith. Do you have faith tonight? Not faith in money. Faith in Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. There are many people who think that, well, if I could only find the right partner, if I could find the girl of my dreams or the man of my dreams, then everything would turn out all right. I'd be happy. But it doesn't work like that. 2 out of every 3 marriages fail. Almost 2 out of every 3. The average marriage in the UK only lasts 18 and a half years. So that's not the source of happiness. There are people, as I've indicated, have sunk into alcohol and into drugs, all trying to find the answer. They can't find it, because it's only to be found in the person that we're told to remember. Remember Jesus Christ. Never forget Jesus Christ. And whatever your circumstances are tonight, I want you to look by faith to Jesus, the Savior of the world. He can save you from your sins. He can forgive you your sins. He can bring you the peace that you're looking for. Only Christ can bring the satisfaction that you're craving for. Only He can do it. Only He can do it, yes. He is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. You know, in a world where nothing is the same as it used to be, in a world where nothing is as it will be, Jesus Christ is the only person who never lets people down. Isn't that amazing? You think of the folks that's let you down. Maybe there's people here tonight, and maybe you feel your parents have let you down. Maybe you feel your pals have let you down. Your boyfriend or girlfriend has let you down. Jesus Christ is the friend of sinners. And you need a friend tonight that will never let you down. A friend that you can rest all your hopes upon. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. He wants to be your Savior. There's an old hymn that says concerning Jesus, He is not a disappointment. Isn't that marvelous? You could write disappointment over society tonight. You could write it in your life. Think of the things
that's turned out to be a disappointment.
You've disappointed others. Others have disappointed you. You've even disappointed yourself. Isn't that right? You see, we can't even trust one another because people let you down and we let people down. We can't even trust ourselves. Isn't that right? We can't trust ourselves to do the right thing. How often have you tried to do the right thing? Come on now. And lo and behold, despite your best efforts, it hasn't worked out. It's all gone pear-shaped. Ah, you see, we need a rock for our feet. A rock-solid hope. And Jesus Christ is the rock-solid hope. You see, we live in a world where a lot of people think that they can go it alone. They can go it alone. Oh, we've come so far now, they say, from when the world began. We've come so far that we can manage to be our own saviour. Well, when you look at the state of the world, that's hardly true, is it? In fact, our first parents, the very first people that were on the earth, Adam and Eve, they thought, away back then, that they knew better than God. And people today still don't think they know better than God. Adam and Eve thought they could live without God. And people today are thinking they can live without God. In fact, Adam and Eve thought they could do better than God. And many today think they can do better than God. Yes, there have been tremendous changes since the last world war. And today life is very fragile, isn't it? Today, my dear friends, life is cheap. Today, the world that you and I live in is a world of fear. Fear. It's a world of alarm. It's a world of mistrust. It's a world of war, a world of vengeance, a war, a place of unrest, Do you ever seriously think of God? Do you ever seriously think of Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? People often ask the question, especially when things go wrong, where is God? Where is God? Maybe you've asked yourself the question, does God really care? Does God really know? Is God so remote in heaven that he doesn't know what our lives are like? What about all the tragedies that's happened in our world? What about September the 11th that we're still talking about? You know, when September the 11th happened, what, 4 or 5 years ago is it? People said, things will never be the same again. And in America particularly, after September the 11th, for weeks and months the churches were filled. The things are the same. Things have settled down. When the dust settles down, things are just the very same now as they were then. People thought after the last war, the tragedy of war, that things would never be the same. And things are just the same. In fact, things are worse. Things are worse. Despite all the education that we've got, despite all the philosophies that we've got, things are getting worse. Things are on the way down. Things are blacker than ever. You see, my dear friends, this terrible disease that's in all our hearts and in all our lives, this thing called sin, it's leading us away from God. It's leading us away from God. You know, you've got a marvelous opportunity tonight because you're here. Hearing the gospel. The gospel is good news. It's good news for you.
is good news for everyone. If we believe it. If we believe it. But you see, that's the trouble. We don't believe. Oh yes, oh I believe in God, somebody says. Somebody says to me, I'd hardly be here if I didn't believe in God. Well, that is possible, though I have known atheists to come into to meetings like this. That has happened. But believing that there is a God somewhere up there, my friends, is not enough. That won't get us to heaven someday. What, would you like to get to heaven? Most people say, oh yes, yes, I'd like to get to heaven. In fact, when the general assumption is that when people die, the vast majority go to heaven. That's the assumption. When all the, well, just take the great footballer that died the other week. Now, I don't know whether he was a believing Christian or not. I've no idea. But everybody assumes that that man's in heaven. There was a great outpouring of grief when Princess Diana died. And everybody assumes that Princess Diana's in heaven. I don't know whether she is or not. If these people had a deathbed conversion, then they're in heaven. But as far as their life is concerned and what they did, etc., they're not really saved. You've got to be saved to get to heaven. Saved from what? Saved from our sin. Saved from the kind of life we're living without God. We've got to be converted. Except ye be converted, said the Lord Jesus when he was here. Do you see the need to be converted? You see, to be converted means to change. To change. We all require to be changed. There's not a person in this building tonight that doesn't need to be changed. Oh, you say, what can I do to change then? Can I turn over a new leaf? No. Can I try and do better? No. Will I read good books on self-help? No. You see, we can't change ourselves. Only God can change us. Only Christ can change us. Self-help is no good in spiritual things. Reading self-help books will help you in the general course of life. But it won't help you to get to heaven. It doesn't help us to get to heaven. Because our sins tonight, oh my dear friends, if you had a consciousness of your sin, then you wouldn't hesitate to get saved. You'd be crying out to me tonight, what must I do to be saved? What have you to do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Trust him. Trust the Savior. Put all your faith and trust in Christ tonight. What does it mean to trust him? Many years ago, I don't know whether I've given this illustration or not, there was a stunt man who said that he could cross the Niagara Falls on a rope. And this was a huge event. Thousands and thousands turned out to see this Frenchman crossing the Niagara Falls. And he started off, and the crowds were watching, and he took one step, and then another, and he crossed to the other side. And the clouds gave him an ovation. They clapped. And then he said he was going to take a wheelbarrow. And he was going to push the wheelbarrow across the Niagara Falls. And right enough, he did it. He did it. And at the other side, again, he got a marvelous ovation. Ovation. And then, do you know what he said? Listen to this. He said, would someone like to come and sit in the wheelbarrow and I'll push you across to the other side? There were thousands there. There wasn't one taker. Not one. Why? Because they didn't trust him to take them across safely. That would have required a huge amount of faith, wouldn't it? Yes. Faith is not just believing in that Jesus exists or God exists. It's not just believing that Jesus was born as a baby and sadly died on a cross and then went back to heaven. No, there's more to it than that. You've got to trust Him with your heart and with your soul. You've got to trust Him with your whole being. Will you do that tonight? Will you forsake everything else that you've put your hopes in? Everything you've done, your hopes have been dashed. Remember Jesus Christ. My dear friends, Christ the Son of God, He's the way forward. You've got to come to by faith to Calvary's cross. Jesus died on the cross to save folks like you and me. He shed His blood on the cross. And the Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. You see, the bottom line, my dear friends, the bottom line tonight, you listening? When you die, it's either heaven or hell. That's the bottom line. And only those who are really trusting in Jesus Christ will get to heaven. Or you can live a good life down here, a commendable life. People can have a great lot to say about you. But unless you have trusted Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, everything else that you've done is of no account. You see, God's not going to weigh up at the great judgment day the good things and bad things. And, oh, well, hopefully the good will outweigh the bad. No, that's no use. That's no use. That's not the Bible way. That's not God's way. That's not God's way of salvation. You see, Jesus Christ is the man of salvation. Well, I've heard people talk about the plan of salvation. I know what they mean. But I'm concerned with the man of salvation. Because salvation is in a person. It's in a person. You could mentally believe the plan of salvation and never come to the point of confessing your sin and your need and trusting Christ as your own personal Savior. There are people who have heard this gospel message so often they could preach it, but they're not converted. They've never been saved. They've never been born again. And so tonight, my dear friends, as we close this little talk, I urge you, if you want to know life, real life, if you want to get eternal life, and eternal life starts here and now, then I want you to come to Christ tonight. As the meeting closes, is there someone here, and you've heard this message tonight? Maybe you've heard it before, maybe you've never heard it before. But is there someone here, a man or a woman, or a young person, and you realize that you're a sinner? You realize God loves you like nobody else could ever love you, far more than your parents could ever love you or any partner could ever love you. God sent His Son into the world to die for you, my dear friend. If you will come tonight and just acknowledge your need and your guilt and in simple trusting faith say, Lord Jesus, I will trust You. There's a little hymn. We're going to sing a couple of verses, 581, and this is this. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Are you prepared for that? Will you say tonight, take me, Jesus, take me now. All to Jesus I surrender, now I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation, glory to His name. We're going to pray for a minute, and then we'll sing the hymn, keeping our seats. Now, are you listening, please? We close this meeting. Now, heaven or hell is in the balance, your soul's in the balance. You'll give an account to God, my dear friends, for what you did with what you heard, and I'll give an account at the judgment as to how I proclaim this message. I believe tonight there's someone in this building. You know you need to be saved. There's someone here tonight, I believe, and you want to be saved. But the devil is telling you to put it off.
The devil's telling you to wait for a while. Wait and see what happens. Wait and see how things pan out. Don't wait. You come tonight. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Today is the appointed time for salvation. You might not be here next week. The cemetery's full of folks that were here 1 week and they weren't here the next. If you want to be saved tonight, speak to us at the door when we shake your hand. We won't embarrass anybody, but speak to me or any of the Christians and we'll point you to the only Savior that can save your precious soul. We'll sing 581. We'll sing the first and the third and the last verse, keeping our seats. But before we do so, we'll ask the Lord to bless us now at the close of our meeting. Let's pray together. Our Father, we come in these moments now at the close of our service, and we give thanks indeed for a God of love, the Savior who came, Jesus the Christ who came, who shed his blood on Calvary, that each of us might be saved. We ask tonight, Father, indeed, that you will give deciding grace to someone here tonight, that someone in this building might confess Christ as their Savior and their Lord, and be saved for time and for eternity. Bless us now, we ask as we part, for we ask these things in the Savior's precious name. Amen. The first, third, and last verse with the chorus of 581. Thank you for listening. May God bless you.